Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will be sharing an uplifting and encouraging message that we pray will inspire you in your walk with God. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
I want to just take a minute again and just again welcome all of our family and friends that are here today. I'm just so grateful that you have joined us, whether here on campus or those that are even watching with us through the live stream today. We're very grateful for you. It means a lot to us that you're here. And please, I just want to encourage you to make yourself at home, please. And let God work here today in your life. We've been praying for you, right? Been praying for all of you that are in this room today. And so you're all an answer to God's prayer. Well, I want to just share something with you that I feel like God has put on my heart for this Family and Friend Day. This is Family and Friend Day. And I've titled this message here, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. What a friend that we have in Jesus. Aren't you thankful this morning as a follower of Christ that you are friends with Jesus? He's your friend. He's a faithful friend. Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. Now, if that sounds familiar to you, it's because What a Friend We Have in Jesus is an old Christian hymn written by a preacher back in the late 1800s. Preacher's name was Jimmy Swenson. Hey. Oh, I'm sorry, brother. I read it wrong here. I can't pronounce the man's name, but I thought I'd have a little fun with Pastor Jimmy back there. It's one of my favorite songs, one of my favorite hymns, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. There's a lot of different renditions of that, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I'm sure you've heard that song, that hymn before. One of my favorites is actually by the country singer who has an album of nothing but hymns. That's Alan Jackson. If you ever heard his rendition, I encourage you to listen to it. I've listened to it all weekend. What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I wished I could do it like him, but I'm not. But that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, is actually connected here. That the preacher who wrote that song is connected to a scripture found in the Gospel of John, John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, starting in verse 13, Jesus said these words here. He says, "Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends." And then Jesus says, he's talking to his followers now. He's talking to his disciples. He says, "You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." What a friend we have in Jesus. The friendship that we can have with Jesus is possible. And the friendship that we can have with Jesus can be a reality. And the only way it can be is because of God's great love for us. He says, "Greater love has no one than this." The possibility of us being, as Abraham was called, a friend of God. It is possible for you and I to be a friend with God. It's a reality for us to be a friend with God only based on God's great love. And the centerpiece of God's great love is actually found in John 3:16. John 3:16 is a passage that almost everyone is familiar with. John 3:16. Even people that are not even Christians, a lot of them know what John 3:16 is. It's a very famous verse, as S.M. Lockridge, the great pastor, said. It's the anthem of Christianity. And a lot of people are familiar with John 3:16. It's one of my favorite verses. Listen, I'm here today to declare to you that I love family. I love my family. I love my friends, but I also love football too. And I bring that up because of what happened, you know, years ago. A lot of you familiar with Tim Tebow, right? You remember the 316 story with Tim Tebow. Tebow in 2009 was playing in the college national championship. I believe it was against the Oklahoma Sooners. I believe that's right. And Tebow had put on those black eye patches under his eyes. He had been wearing Philippians 4:13. And right before the national championship game, he told his coach he was going to switch it to John 3:16. His coach was like, no, you're not. We've got here because of Philippians 4:13. And you're not changing it. And he's like, but this is on my heart. And the coach's like, okay, if that's on your heart. Well, he put on the John 3:16. And through that game, thousands and thousands of people actually Googled John 3:16. But what's so amazing about this, and Tebow testifies with a testimony later on. You can watch it if you go to some of Tim Tebow's foundation. In 3 years later from that national championship game, 3 years later, he was playing in a playoff game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And they call it the John 3:16 game. It's 3 years after he wore those patches, the exact day. And in that game, Tebow passed for 316 yards for completions. He had 31.6 yards per rush. He had 3.16, it was yards per rush, 3.16. Time of possession by the opposing team, the Steelers, was 31 minutes and 6 seconds. And the TV ratings were 31.6. And he had no idea this was going on during the game. And his manager comes up and says, Tebow, do you realize what happened? He said, yeah, we just won this playoff game. He said, no, it's something much greater than that. And because of that, over 90 million people Googled John 3:16. Over 90 million people Googled John 3:16. Which is the John 3:16 is the centerpiece, it's the anthem, as S.M. Lockridge would say, of Christianity. It's the possibility that we can have friendship with God. And John 3:16 goes like this: for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, just follow along with me here real quickly, because we're gonna do a breakdown here of John 3:16. And the first thing I want you to notice is that this friendship with God is possible because God is the reason of this great love. In John 3:16, it says, God so loved, God so loved. If you study that word love, it's really a word that is called agape. And it's almost a word that you can't, there's no way you can really describe God's love. And the Bible says God is love. Not just that God loves you, but God is love. God Almighty, the one we've been praising and singing to this morning, worshiping, he is love. And that word love is agape love. It's a love that cannot be conquered. It's a love that cannot change. God's agape love is a love that has no limits. It has no boundaries to how far, how wide, how high, how deep it will go to reach somebody. God's agape love, if you study that word, it really is it's an unchanging love. It's an unending love. It's an unconditional love. Much different from the world's love, because the world's love is very conditional. The world's love is conditional. The world's love is always looking for what you can get and gain. Just like my 18-year-old son yesterday come in there in the house wanting to borrow $50 yesterday. Loving on me, but I knew there was something to get or gain. And I said, tell me why I need to give you this money. And he looks at me, he says, because you're making an investment. I don't know if there's going to be much return on that investment. God's love is different than the world's love. The world's love is looking something to get, something to gain. But God's love is looking always to give. For God so loved the world, he gave. He gave. I'll never forget reading a testimony one time about this this man, he suffered from alcoholism. He was known as the town drunk. He was very poor. People ridiculed him, made fun of him. And this gentleman, he testified that he went inside of a church, and when he went inside of the church, he noticed there in the church, as he stumbled in, that over behind the pulpit, the words read, "God is love. God is love." And he wrestled with what he read in that church that day. In fact, he testified that it made him angry. He was confused by what it said over that pulpit. In fact, he got up from the church service and left the church and got down the road. But those words began to burn in his heart. God is love. God is love. God is love. And he turned around and he went back into the church, and he came into the church and he sat on the back pew. He might have been former Baptist, I don't know. But he got on the back row. He got on the very back. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. He got on the back row and he testified that he sat there and he read it over and over, "God is love," and he began to weep as the preacher was preaching. He kept preaching and the man was crying and he was confused and he was angry. But all that began to dissipate, and out of that anger and confusion, it began to melt away, and hope and love began to touch his heart. And after the service, the preacher went up to him and he said, "Tell me what it is I said in the sermon that has you in the condition that you're in now." And the man says, "Sir, I never heard a word you said." "I can relate to that." He said, "All I can tell you is I can't get my eyes off of that. God is love." And the preacher began to take him into a depth of what that meant. And that man gave his life to Jesus right there in that church. And to God be the glory. To God be the glory. And it reminds all of us, friend, that God is love. And God loves you. No matter, listen, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've come from, how angry, confused you may be in life, or what life has done to you. Listen, no matter the guilt, the shame, the condemnation you may have in your life right now, nothing can change the truth that God is love and God loves you. Even how you feel can't change how God feels about you. God loves you. God loves you. Even when you feel unlovable, and you may have never felt love before. I have met people, and listen, I've experienced some of it in my own life at times where you were never told you were loved. You never felt love. You never had somebody tell you, "I love you." In fact, you might have been abused. You might have been verbally abused, physically abused. You may have never heard anybody say, "I love you." You may have never heard anybody grab you and hug you. But I want to tell you, friend, God, our Father in heaven, He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. It's an unending love. It's unconditional today. He loves you. And all you have to do, if you ever doubt that, just look to the cross of Jesus Christ. No greater love than one that would lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus did. Hallelujah. And he did it because God so loved the world. I want you to notice not only the reason for the love and the friendship that we have with Christ, but notice the recipients. The Bible says that God so loved the world, so loved the world. That world, that meaning there of world is cosmos, cosmos. If we have any old Seinfeld fans in here, you remember Kramer, he used to use that word a lot, cosmos. Cosmos means the world. It means God loves everyone in the world. Think about that. God is love, and God loves everyone in the world. He loves everybody. And this world that we live in is sinful, and God loves everyone in this sinful world. The Bible says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son for everyone in the world. God, listen, God wants everyone to be saved. He wants everyone to be saved. We like to pick and choose who we think needs to be saved or don't. God wants everyone to be saved. Praise God. And in 1 Timothy, it says this in chapter 2, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, all who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." God loves everyone, and Jesus died for everyone. In 1 John 2:2, it says, that Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. That means he's the covering. He satisfies God's wrath. He appeases the wrath of God for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world, the Bible says. Hebrews 2:9 says that Jesus suffered death so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Listen, God sent his son, Jesus, to die for the world. Everyone. You are everyone. Every one of us in this room. Everyone in the cosmos. Everyone in the world. Jesus died for them. He loves them. Now, there's a false teaching out there. Please hear me. And we have to be more aware of those things as we go into these last days. But there's a false teaching out there, and I'm going to tell it like it is, but universalism is a false teaching. And there's a false teaching out there that says that everybody's going to be saved. And the truth is, not everyone will be saved, but the truth is, everyone can be saved. Amen. They can be saved. In fact, Romans 10:13 says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Listen, friend. You may say, well, is that true for me? Because I am a sinner. I am living in sin right now. Sin has damaged my life and pretty much destroyed me, and I'm living in a dark place. You don't know me. I have hurt some people. I have brought some pain in people's life. I have run from God. I have rebelled from God. Friend, all I can tell you right now, you can wipe all that out of the way. Jesus loves you. God loves you. It don't matter who you are, how far you've run, what kind of rebellion you're in. God loves you. He loves everyone. He loves the sinner, not the sin. He loves the broken. He loves the rich man, the poor man. He loves the bad man, the good man. He loves the black man, the brown man, the white man, the red man. God loves the thief, the liar, the drug addict, the drug dealer, the murderer, the homosexual. God loves the religious man. God loves the atheist. God loves the agnostic. I can't help how you feel about it, but I'm letting you know right now, God loves everyone, and he wants everyone to be saved. God so loved the world. Hallelujah. God so loved the world. And I want you to notice here the real proof of God's great love. And the real proof is the Bible says in John 3:16 that he gave his one and only son. The real proof that God's love is great and that you can be friends with God is through Jesus Christ. He sacrificed his one and only son. The Bible says in 1 John 4:10, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Amen. Why did God send his son to die as a sacrifice? Because God is holy and we are sinful. Amen. In fact, if you were to read the Bible, you know that from the beginning there's creation, there's corruption, and then redemption and restoration. Yeah. Sin has brought corruption. And friend, listen, everyone is sick with sin. Everyone is sick with sin, and we cannot cure. We are not the cure. We have no cure for it. Sin is so bad that it separates us from God. In fact, sin is deadly, for the wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. Sin comes with a high cost. It's been said there's a cost of sin. It's the most expensive thing in the universe. If it is forgiven sin, it costs God his only begotten son. If it's unforgiven sin, it's going to cost the sinner his soul and an eternity in hell. But what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus is the sinless sacrifice for our sins. He is the one that went to the cross. He endured the agony and the pain of the cross. He endured the shame of the cross to save us from our sins. Jesus Christ was sacrificed for you and for me. He poured out his blood. He bled and he died so we could be forgiven of our sins. He bled and he died so our sins could be removed as far as the east is from the west. Jesus died and rose again again from the grave so we could be saved. Jesus died and rose again so we could live forever in a place called heaven. What a friend we have in Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, that was the introduction. Now, point one. I'm just kidding. I want you to notice the response to God's love. The response. In John 3:16, it says, "Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." It's amazing. When you look at John 3:16, let's listen. It's a powerful verse. It starts with God at the beginning and it ends in heaven. But right in the very middle of John 3:16, there's a word there that's the key to it all. And it's the word believes. Believes is the fork in the road between heaven and hell, between perishing and eternal life. You have to believe if you're going to be saved from your sins. You have to believe. And that word believe means this, that you trust in Jesus. You're trusting in him that he took your place on the cross. He took my place on the cross. You have to trust that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And you have to trust in what he did through his crucifixion, through his death, through his resurrection. Believe also means that you repent. You have a spiritual U-turn in your life, that you're no longer going to live for self. You're no longer going to live for sin. Now there's a spiritual U-turn, and now you're following Jesus. Believe means to trust. It means to repent. Jesus said, unless you repent, you too will all perish. Believe also means to receive. You have to receive Jesus. John 1:12 says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We have to believe if we're going to be saved. If you remember in Acts chapter 16, there's a prison break, and Paul ends up in a jailer's house, and the jailer says, what must I do to be saved? And Paul says, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you and your household will be saved. You have to believe. You have to believe. Friend, listen to me this morning, please. God's great love demands a response. And the question this morning is, will you believe? Will you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? When you believe, will you trust in him? Will you repent of your sins? Will you receive him? Will you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Not will you be faithful in church. You should come to church. Not will I come to church. Not be a good person. Not join a Bible study. The question is, the response is, will you believe? Will you believe? What does it take to get into heaven? What does it take to get into heaven? The story goes that a man had a dream, and he stood at the gate of heaven, and he was confronted by Peter. And he asked, what does it take to get into heaven? And Peter said, 1,000 points. Okay, the man said, I've been faithful in church all my life. I've attended church all my life. Peter said, that's 1 point. The man said, I can't believe that. Listen, how about this? I was a deacon in my church for over 20 years. That's another point. I have been a good person. I mean, I have gave to the organizations in the community. I've done this. I've done that. And Peter said, that's great. That's another point. And in great despair, the man said, if all I can get is 3 points for a long life in the church and doing good works in my community, I guess I'm going to just have to throw myself on the mercy of God and the love of Christ displayed on the cross and believe that Jesus paid for my sins on the cross. And Peter smiled and said, that's 1,000 points. Come on in. Come on in. And I want everybody here today to get your 1,000 points. I want to make sure everyone gets their 1,000 points today. I want you to throw yourself at the mercy of God. I want you to throw yourself to the cross of Jesus Christ, knowing that he's paid the price for something you couldn't pay yourself. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. And you will respond. You have to respond to this love. To be a friend with God, to be a friend with Jesus, you got to respond to this love. And it's simply believe that Jesus did what you couldn't do for yourself. And all we have to do is believe. Jesus said, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. The Bible says that many will respond by rejecting Jesus Christ, and few will respond by believing in the Son of God. How about you, friend? How about you? Don't think you're going to listen. Please hear me. Myself included. Every single one of us, think about this. You are going to stand before God. You are going to give an account of your life before God. Every single one of us in this room, just imagine one day, you and God, and you're going to have to give an account of your life and how you responded. How will you respond to God's love? I'm closing here. Notice the last thing here is the results of God's great love. He says in John 3:16 that they will not perish, but have eternal life. Perish, the results of God's great love, well, perish is referring to hell, and eternal life is referring to heaven. Heaven is real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. In Matthew 25, Jesus said these words here. He says, then they will go away. Some will go away to eternal punishment, referring to hell, but the righteous to eternal life. Friend, hear me this morning, please. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And I hope my prayer and the prayer of many in this place right now is that the final result for your life, the final result of your life will be heaven. Everything on this earth, friend, is going to be burned up. Listen, all the accolades, all the popularity, all the trophies, all that's going to matter at the end is you're going to stand before God. And you're going to give an account of your life. How did you respond? I pray your response will be one that will lead to a final result of you being in heaven. Are you saved? You need to repent of your sins. If not, you need to receive Jesus. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, don't listen to me. Hear me. It's your response that's going to lead to the results. God doesn't send anyone to hell. You make the choice. Amen. Your response is going to lead to your result. Listen to me. Don't go to hell. Don't go to hell. I want you to go to heaven. And the question is right now is do you have the assurance that if you were to die right now, if you were to take your last breath right now, would the results be with you be in heaven? Would you be in heaven? Listen. Well, I've been great at church, and I mean I've taught Sunday school and I've tithed every Sunday, and I mean I pray for the preacher, I shake his hand, and I'm doing all these things here. I mean, I'm living a very religious life. No, I'm not asking you that. Amen. Are you believing in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you put your trust in him? Have you repented of your sins? Have you received him? And you're in a relationship with Jesus. Do you have the assurance in your life right now that if you were to die, you would be in heaven? Let me tell you how you can have that assurance. First of all, you need to admit your sin. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Admit your sin. Admit it. Admit the sin, and then abandon all your self-efforts. There's, you can't earn it. You can't do anything to earn salvation. Abandon all of that and fall at the mercy of God. And then you need to acknowledge Christ and the cross, that you got to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and my sins. And he died in our place as a substitute for us. Your sin debt has been paid by the blood of Jesus Christ, who cleanses us from all sins. Praise God for that. And then you just need to accept Jesus as your Savior by faith. Put your faith in Christ alone. In Christ alone. He's the only way to heaven. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Pastor Kevin, if you guys will be ready to play. Yes, God. Yes, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Would you bow your head right there where you are? Nobody looking around. Close your eyes. This is about you and God. Can you answer that question today? Are you a friend with God? Are you a friend with Jesus? Can you sing that song with assurance? What a friend I have in Jesus. Friend, listen to me. Please hear my voice. I'm pleading with you that this may be the only opportunity you ever have right now in this moment to respond, to the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Please don't let it pass you by. Don't worry about what the person in front of you, behind you, around you may say or think. This is about your soul. Your soul. And I pray that today would be the day of salvation for you. Maybe you've never made a decision to follow Christ. Maybe you thought you were just too bad, too sinful, too rebellious, that God couldn't do anything with you. That's a lie from the devil. God loves you. Maybe you have at one time followed Christ, but you have just slowly drifted and drifted away. And God is saying it's time for you to come back to me right now. Nobody looking around. I want to just ask you this right here. If you're here this morning and you want to have the assurance that the final results of your life, when you take your last breath here, that you'll cross over into a place, a real place called heaven, and you want me to pray with you as you have this assurance, as you accept Christ right now in this moment, you need that assurance and you want me to pray with you and pray for you. Nobody looking around, would you do me a favor? And would you be bold enough and courageous enough? This is about your soul. Would you raise your hand right where you are and say, I need prayer. God bless you, sir. Hold that hand up. Keep it up, please. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, sir. Keep them up, please. God bless you, ma'am. Is there anybody? God bless you, ma'am. Is there anybody else? Keep it up. Keep it up. Is there anybody? God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Is there anybody else? Come on, God's speaking to you right now. Pray, Christians. Lift your hand so God can see it. Please. God bless you, ma'am. Hallelujah. 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 You can put your hands down. I want every one of you that lifted your hand, and even if you didn't lift it, but you know you need to have that assurance, I want you just to pray with me now. It's not really the prayer, but it's right here from the heart. Just say, Heavenly Father, I admit to you that I'm a sinner, and I confess my sins to you. And I believe right now, I believe, I trust in you, I repent of my sins, and I receive you to be my Lord and to be my Savior. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe that you shed your blood. You bled and died for me. And you were buried. And on the third day, you were raised back to life. And I confess with my mouth right now. Come on, I want you to say this. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Come on, say it. Jesus is Lord. And I believe that God raised him from the dead. And because he lives, I will live forever too in a place called heaven. And I receive you now. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Wash my sins away. Cleanse me from all sin. As far as the east is from the west, cast it away. And I am born again. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old is gone and everything has become new. And I receive the gift of salvation right now in my life. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You know, the Bible says that heaven's rejoicing right now over one person that made a decision for Christ.